Well, as you know, today we lit the fourth candle of the Advent wreath, the angel's candle. Do you think about angels very much? A lot of people do. A lot of people don't think about angels very much. In fact, some people say, I don't even believe in angels if I can't see it. That I don't believe it. And my answer to them is, well, you can't see electricity either. But if you put your finger in a socket, you'll soon discover how real it is. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. The Bible is filled with information about angels. In fact, there are 273 references in the Bible about angels. Mountains of details are shared about them, and some of those details are mysterious and even challenging sometimes. Many seminaries have a required course in angelology. And even if you take it and you make an A+, you will not know everything there is to know about angels. You know why? Because so much of it is hidden from us. We don't know yet what we're going to know when we finally get there. You might remember that Jesus said this in Matthew 13, 44. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. In other words, great and wonderful things can be hidden from us even if they're right before our eyes. We can't see them. We can't really know them. It's all about faith. I've heard that somewhere before. The Bible teaches us a lot about angels, so I want to be a student of angels. I would like for you to, if you'll just bear with me, be a student of angels. This morning we're going to take Angelology 101 today. Maybe less than 101. Why did God create angels? You know God created them. He created everything. Why did God create angels? It says in the Bible that God created angels to praise him and worship him and to serve him. Listen, by serving us. Wow. You have a servant. Did you know that? You have a servant. Let's talk first about praise and worship with the angels. This is from Psalm 29, verse 1. It says, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. That speaks of the praise aspect. And then the very next verse says, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Praise and worship. Did you know there's a difference between praise and worship? We won't get into all that today, but it's true. And let me say this, I don't think any of us are ever going to understand fully what praise and worship are all about until we get there and we discover how perfectly the angels praise and worship God. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to hear that. And what about that part where they're created to serve God by serving us? Here's just one scripture. This is Psalm 91, verse 11. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you. Hello? He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Guess what? You don't just have a servant, you have a guardian. You have a guardian angel. Wow. Oh, the Bible teaches us lots of things about angels. It tells us that they're only slightly superior to us in that they have supernatural powers that we don't have. They are neither male nor female. They never die. They are eternal creatures. And there are so many of them, it says that if you were to count the stars, if you could count all the stars in the universe, there are still more angels than there are stars in the universe. That's amazing. And you probably already know this, but it's very possible that you have met an angel. It says in Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Huh. That made me wonder about myself. I have to cringe a little bit wondering whether or not I failed to embrace a stranger who was really an angel that God sent to me, and I didn't realize it. Have you ever thought about that? If not, perhaps you should, because maybe it would improve the way we treat strangers. That's challenging, isn't it? What do angels look like? Do they look like us? Yes, sometimes. Do they look like us all the time? No. In fact, the Bible says some of them have multiple heads. Some of them have multiple eyes, many eyes. Some of them have wings. Some of them don't have wings. And yes, some of them look like human beings. In other words, they must have the ability to change their appearance and to look however they want to look. And that would relate to our meeting one and not being aware that we're actually talking to an angel. Maybe that person that you really like the least in your life, in the line in front of you at the grocery store, is an angel. Watch out. You never know. Why are we talking about all this? Well, for the obvious reason that angels have a major part of the Christmas narrative. And the first thought that most people have is that of what we read today, angels coming to the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. But you know, there are a lot of other encounters with angels in the Christmas story, and they teach us a lot of things. Here's the first one, Luke chapter 1. We read about Zechariah. Who was Zechariah? Zechariah was a priest in the temple, and he was married to Elizabeth. And it says in verse 10, and when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Zechariah was in the temple. They were outside. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. I completely get it. I think I would respond exactly the same way. I think I'd be startled and gripped also. And you will hopefully remember what the angel said to Zechariah. He said, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And you're going to give him the name John, and he's going to be a special baby. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is going to bring people back to God, and he is going to have the opportunity to prepare the way of the Lord. But Zechariah did not believe him. He doubted. And Zechariah expressed his doubts. He said, how can this be? Because Elizabeth and I are now old. How can we possibly have a baby? Now, I like what Gabriel said next. And I'm sure he said it just this way. I'm reading from the Word. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Stupid idiot. Do you remember what happened next? The angel told Zechariah, you're not going to be able to talk until the baby's born. Okay, so we learn a lot in this encounter. Angels can have names. Gabriel. And angels can be in the very presence of God. They can be right at the throne and be in all of that glory and be close to him. And angels can be sent by God to be messengers to give us messages. And they have the supernatural ability to bless us or to discipline us. If you're like me, you don't like to be disciplined. But the angels can do that. Well, the baby was born. Little John was born, John the Baptist. And he grew up to have an awesome ministry of bringing people back to God. And he got to introduce Jesus to people. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it all started with the first visit by an angel in the Christmas narrative. And then it continued with this wonderful passage in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, this is Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. There he is again. He's a celebrity. Sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. How would you like to have an angel appear to you and tell you you're highly favored? Greetings, Mary, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. How would you like to hear that? The Lord is with you. And a few verses later, he said, do not be afraid, Mary. It's very possible that when this happened, Mary was startled and she reacted a little bit. And the angel said, it's okay. It's okay. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. He said it twice. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him what? Jesus. You know, here's an aside. In our culture today, it's usually the father and the mother who agree on the name of a baby. But at that time, it was the mother's responsibility to name the child. And Gabriel gave Mary a shortcut. He said, here's what you're going to name him. Now, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, we know he wasn't very happy. But then this happened in Matthew 1, verse 20. Yet another angelic encounter. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Aha! Not right in front of him, but in a dream. Do you dream? Do you ever dream? You ever had weird dreams? Do you ever have vivid dreams? It is possible that God could speak to you through a dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And unlike Zechariah in the temple, Joseph accepted the message. Now, if you're counting, that's three encounters so far. Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph. But wait, there's more. Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. We've heard this scripture so many times we could all say it from heart. And it says, they were terrified. Again, I understand that. In fact, I'm going to tell you a story. A little while back in the spring, I think it was some teenagers around graduation time, came into my backyard one night and threw some eggs on the side of my house and hit the siding. I was able to get somebody with chemicals and pressure wash and get it off. But I decided I was going to install a motion-sensitive light and camera in the back of my house just in case there's any more mischief to come. And the electrician installed it right outside my bedroom window. On the first night, at 1:30 in the morning, my bedroom filled with light. And I woke up not remembering the camera and the light. And I was startled. I was almost terrified. And I thought about this as I was preparing this message. And I did not pick up my iPhone to see what was going on the camera. Instead, I rushed over to the window. I opened the blinds and looked into the backyard, and there were two eyes staring at me. I had seen a deer in the backyard. But I understood that sudden light and how it just disrupted everything with the shepherds. But thank God they saw more than a deer on that night in Bethlehem. And I'm sure you remember what comes next. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." Brothers and sisters, in each of those four encounters, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, the natural reaction was fear. And in each of those cases, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." That is not only a common thread throughout the Christmas narrative, but it is a message from God to me and you for all time through his angels. They say, "Relax, everything's under control." How many times do we have to say that? I have said it over and over and over. I need to hear it over and over. How many times do you need to hear it? Relax. God has everything under control. Amen. Thank you. Now, I have a confession. I tend to be a news junkie. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I pick up my iPhone and I read the news. And when I turn on the shower, I turn on the radio and I listen to the news. And then I go out and I make breakfast and I turn on the TV and I listen to the news. And you know how the news is? They love to stir the pot. They love to build things up, and they love to make people anxious. And I don't get fearful when I listen to it at all, because I understand that. But sometimes it can make me tense, and I'm realizing it. God's message through the angels at Christmas and for all time is, "Relax, Harry. Everything is under control. I bring you good news." Hallelujah. You know, I think we Christians are among the most blessed people on planet Earth, because we know the great news of who Jesus is, of how he got here, of what he did, of where we're going when everything's over. Glory to God in the highest. And God's message of hope can be given to you in any way God chooses to give you that message, including the possibility of an angel in your life. And it may come in a dream, or it may come through a stranger. And like my security camera light, it may startle you. Don't allow it to overcome you. Be open. Keep your receptors in tune. Listen for God's voice. Listen for God's voice in your life. I don't know how he's going to speak to you or me, but you know what? His Holy Spirit is always with us. He is above you right now. He is below you right now. He is at your side. He is in you right now. He is here. He is here. He is moving among us. He is here. He is here as we gather in His name. Keep your receptors in tune and keep listening for His voice. And if He decides to send an angel, so be it. Okay, we have reviewed now four visits from angels in the Christmas story, but God was not done. Here's number five. The Magi arrived in Jerusalem, and they said to Herod, oh, there's going to be this Jewish king. And Herod said, I don't like that, and he killed all the boys. This is Matthew 2:13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Well, there he goes again. He appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said, get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Not only does God use angels to bring us good news, but sometimes He uses angels to bring us disturbing news as well. It may be even news that interrupts your life. All of us have life interruptions, right? However, as in this example, it may be that He wants to warn you and protect you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Don't you love that scripture? Allow me to rephrase it. If God is for you, who can be against you? Take that home. Live it. It's yours. It's His gift to you. But let's face it, we live in a fallen world, and we all in this life live with the consequences of sin. Disease, anger, death, hatred, war. That is, in fact, why Jesus came. The good news that the angels brought was not, today is born for you a Santa Claus to bring you joy. No, today is born for you a Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God, a Savior. And the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, is the same angel who rolled away that stone in Jerusalem on resurrection morn. I can't wait to meet this guy. Listen, the news that the angels brought in the Christmas story is only the beginning. It was not completed even at the crucifixion. It was not completed even at the resurrection. In fact, it's still going on, and it will not be completed until Christ returns in all of His glory. And just like the Bible talks about the glory of the Lord filling those fields when the angels came to the shepherds, there's going to be a bright light, the brightest light we have ever seen in our lives when Jesus Christ comes back, and we're going to see it, even if you die before it happens. And we probably will. We will still see that wonderful light when Jesus Christ returns in all of His glory. Hallelujah. This year's celebration of Advent culminates on Wednesday. When it does, and you put away, eventually you put away all your decorations and rest up a little bit. Is that it? Is that it? Will you not think about it and just put it out of your mind until next year? I hope not. Because the message of the angels is an ongoing message. Revelation 11. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Revelation 22. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Verse 7. "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll." And verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Hallelujah! Come, Lord Jesus, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, we are so guilty of shallow interpretation of Advent and your coming and Christmas. May the depth of your message grip us today and change us and draw us and move us closer to you. And Lord, thank you for giving us guardian angels and servant angels, and may we be open to receiving from you whatever you wish to give or say to us through your messengers. May we be like lumps of clay in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.